WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. A new poll shows the biggest lead yet for Democrat Ralph Northam in the governor's race. After Monday's Crime Commission report, one prominent Republican lawmaker says it's time to decriminalize the possession of small amounts of marijuana in Virginia. And we have the final installment in our series of House of Delegates races profiles. This is the WMRA Daily for Tuesday, October 31st.
Support for the WMRA Daily comes from Blue Ridge Community College, offering small classes, student clubs, sports, and financial aid while living close to family and friends. Registration for the fall semester is happening now at the Weir's Cave campus or online at brcc.edu.
8 days before the election, the latest Quinnipiac University poll shows Democrat Ralph Northam with a 17-point lead over Republican Ed Gillespie in the governor's race. WCVE's Charles Fishburne reports.
Quinnipiac conducts polls in 8 key swing states, and this year, Virginia's governor's race is getting a lot of attention. Assistant Director Peter Brown.
The latest Quinnipiac poll released this afternoon finds that Democrat Lieutenant Governor Northam has a very, very solid 17-point lead over Republican Ed Gillespie.
The poll shows Northam with 53% to Gillespie's 36% among likely voters.
Mr. Northam carries virtually every voter group.
There have been diverse poll numbers lately. Experts say demos, sample size, and Virginia's lack of party registration can make a difference. Charles Fishburne, WMRA News.
Meanwhile, Tuesday is the last day Virginia voters can ask for an absentee ballot to be mailed to them. Voters have until 5 p.m. to request a ballot for the November 7th election and until November 4th to request an absentee ballot in person. To vote, absentee voters must have a valid reason and in some cases provide supporting information. Absentee ballots can be requested online at elections.virginia.gov. The Virginia State Crime Commission held its public meeting Monday to discuss marijuana decriminalization. WCVE's Soraya Wintersmith reports, after a presentation from Crime Commission staff, the group heard from members of the public for about an hour and a half.
23-year-old medical student Ryan Kabir says he's too afraid to try marijuana himself, but he knows classmates that have.
And I guess my biggest concern is that if they had been caught in Virginia, they wouldn't have been able to go to medical school.
Speaking in support of decriminalization, Kabir said the illegal nature of marijuana in the Commonwealth is, quote, stupid.
It just seems mind-boggling to me that a substance that doesn't really kill people has been categorized as something that will put you in jail and will ruin the rest of your life, whereas something like alcohol, something that causes the liver disease, tobacco, something that causes the lung cancer, those things are perfectly fine.
Crime Commission staff proposed 3 policy changes and several factors for the group to consider. The commission will take votes on which option to recommend to the General Assembly at the end of the year. Soraya Wintersmith, WMRA News.
And following that meeting, a Virginia lawmaker announced he is working on a bill to decriminalize marijuana. The Virginian Pilot reported Monday that Senate Majority Leader Tommy Norment does not support full legalization of the drug, but the Republican said possessing it would be a civil offense subject to a ticket or a fine. Norment's comments followed the release of the State Crime Commission study that said decriminalizing marijuana would prevent more than 10,000 arrests every year in Virginia. The commission takes no position on changing the state's marijuana laws, but it could vote on a recommendation to lawmakers later this year, setting up a likely debate in the 2018 legislative session. Commission staff outlined the study on Monday. They said police arrested more than 130,000 people on first offense marijuana charges in the last decade. Over the summer, Governor Terry McAuliffe signed an executive directive setting up a Millennial Civic Engagement Task Force. Its goal, get millennials civically engaged throughout the Commonwealth. The task force held a summit last Friday in Richmond, and WMRA's Marguerite Gallerini talked to one of the participants.
Zakir Tamiz is one of 2 students from UVA to be part of the governor's task force, which is composed of all public colleges and universities in Virginia and one private college. 40 students showed up on Friday's summit and met with the governor. One theme, better information about what's happening close to home.
A lot of students feel like they don't really know what's going on or that they don't really understand what matters. Especially in the national news cycles, they always just talk about national elections, right? But so much is happening in Virginia, and a lot of students feel like they aren't hearing that.
Throughout November, the task force will continue working on these ideas, such as setting up a list of best practices that universities can take to ensure civic engagement. They will then present a set of recommendations to the governor in December.
So, for example, a lot of schools, students don't have cars, and the polling locations are very far, so they're not able to walk there. And as a result, they don't vote. And that's part of the problem, right?
UVA's Student Council, where Tamiz is also active, has managed to make student access to polling stations easier for this year's election.
So, for example, the University of Virginia, through the work with Student Council and through Student Council actually advocating for this in previous years, is using the safe ride vans that UVA has that they use at night for student safety and having those bring students to the polls in the daytime. Because, again, there is, for example, the North Line, which is a bus service for UVA, but it's going to be completely crowded. And as a result, many students can't get on the bus. So the university expands its public transportation options to the polling location to adjust for student traffic on election day. It will be done this election at UVA because Student Council demanded it.
Tamiz hopes that success will provide an example for students around the state. For WMRA News, I'm Marguerite Gallerini.
Finally, all 100 seats in the House of Delegates are up for grabs in this election. Will voters in the predominantly rural 20th and 24th House districts double down on Trumpism or reject his policies? WMRA's Jesse Nadler takes a look at what's happening in the House races there.
The top issues playing out across predominantly rural 20th and 24th districts: redistricting, education, pipeline, and health care. It's that last one that compelled John Winfrey of Lexington to face off against longtime Republican incumbent Ben Klein. The retired economics professor says he felt called to act after Republican majority lawmakers turned down Medicaid expansion in Virginia as part of the Affordable Care Act.
These families are making their way out of poverty, and we turned it down. I have to make a protest, not because I think I'm going to win this race. I hope I will, but the odds are very low since it's so gerrymandered. But I believe I feel a movement away from this sort of reasoning that would do something this inhumane to families that are eligible.
Like most districts in Southwest Virginia, the 24th, which consists of Rockridge, Bath, parts of Augusta, and Amherst, is predominantly Republican. So Winfrey, a lifelong Democrat running as an independent, is hoping to persuade some voters turned off by Trump.
Every morning, people ask, well, how is your campaign going? And I say, every morning I wake up, the Republicans have given me gift after gift after gift.
Delegate Klein has held the seat since 2002. He supports President Trump's executive order that encourages the purchase of health insurance across state lines through the development of association plans. It's very similar to legislation Klein himself introduced in the 2017 General Assembly.
The more competition that we can put into our healthcare system, the lower prices will go and the more people we can get covered.
Such plans have been criticized for mirroring insurance markets pre-Obamacare by benefiting the young and healthy over the old and sick. But despite the anti-Trump fervor in the media, Klein points out that the 24th was one of the top 10 Trump districts in Virginia.
Trump is popular here, still is popular here. This part of Virginia wants to see immigration enforcement, repeal and replace of Obamacare. And so that's what I've been fighting for in Richmond. Hopefully we'll continue to push on those issues during the next General Assembly session.
Over in the 20th district around Stanton, education is the common thread between Republican incumbent Dickie Bell and political newcomer Michelle Edwards. Both are educators, but philosophically at odds. Here's Delegate Bell.
I'm always passionate about education and about our young people, and particularly those with disabilities and special needs.
Delegate Bell thinks children, including those trapped in low-performing rural schools, should have greater school choice, whether to attend charter schools, home or online schools, or receive publicly funded vouchers to transfer elsewhere.
Education takes a big chunk of our taxpayer dollars. I think we can do some things to get a little more bang for the buck. I want to be a voice for rural Virginia. I don't think we're heard sometimes. It's like our needs out here are not as great as some of those in urban Virginia.
He has co-sponsored various bills that would allow for greater educational flexibility. Three were vetoed by Governor McAuliffe last year. Democrat Michelle Edwards supports greater school choice, but doesn't think it should divert funds from the public system.
I just fundamentally disagree with that premise that education should be privatized. I believe that it's foundational to our democracy. Public schools represent the heartbeat of our communities.
Even though she's a Democrat stumping across Trump country, Edwards says she feels like she's connecting with rural voters.
Yesterday, I met this woman. She was like, you know, I voted for Donald Trump. And look what he's done for us now. Look what he's done to us now. And we're in a mess. She said, I'm voting for you. And I'm going to tell everybody I know. And I was like, well, good. And I've heard that from many, many people.
Then there's the wild card, libertarian Will Hammer, a Bitcoin investor who ran against Delegate Bell in 2015 and got 24% of the vote.
That shows that people are tired of incumbents, tired of business as usual, maybe tired of the two parties.
He supports legalized marijuana and opposes the Atlantic Coast Pipeline.
Property rights is the foundation of libertarianism. So I don't believe that private companies, corporations such as Dominion, should be able to use the eminent domain to take away people's property for private profit.
Voters in these two districts will have their say November 7th. For WMRA News, I'm Jesse Nadler.
And you'll find all of our election coverage at WMRA.org. And tomorrow, we'll start hearing my interviews with candidates for governor. Tomorrow, my interview with Lieutenant Governor Ralph Northam, the Democratic nominee for governor. For WMRA News, I'm Bob Levicky. Thanks for joining me. Enjoy your Tuesday.